I'm Bill Teeple. I'm here with my co-host, Alan Cobb, and this is Icon Art Radio. Last week, we had as our guest, Chris Johnson, who is he's the managing head jefe of this whole operation of putting together the new movie theater in Fairfield. It was a fascinating show. But I've asked him to come back and talk about his history in Fairfield. He's one of the developers that has helped transform Fairfield from the small town that's like every other small town, every million small towns in rural America, into integration of the small town ways that I've grown to love, and the sophistication of big city culture. And this takes many elements. And I know you can talk more about those elements I don't think much about, but it's like buying buildings, remodeling buildings, making office space available, making living space available. So tell us a little about your history. You came from San Francisco. I know you're a San Francisco
right.
Dude.
I am. Always will be, even if I'm here.
Well, I'm a California guy.
My family and I moved here in 1989, and probably like many people in that time period, it was because our sons were 6 and 4 at the time, and my wife said, well, we've got to move there and have them go to school there. So I left a very good business and moved here not quite knowing what I would do. But as soon as I got here, then the first thing I saw is that there was great opportunity to do something with these wonderful old buildings around the Fairfield Square. At that time, we had bought the building where Timely Solutions is, and over a period of time renovated that. But then early on, we became involved in the Marishi Center development, and for many, many years, that took up most of our time. But still along the way, we bought a couple of other buildings, including the building where the movie theater is. Really didn't do much with it for a long time because all our time and resources were going into getting the Marishi Center, later Vedic City development going. But after many years, then three, 4, 5 years ago, an opportunity came up to purchase the buildings that were owned by Reader's Digest, or formerly Books or Fund. Café Paradiso is now located, and the other building up across from the courthouse, the 123 North Main building. And it was just purely, we weren't looking, but the CFO for Reader's Digest was staying at our hotel in Vedic City, and mentioned one morning at breakfast, I've got to get rid of these buildings, and why don't you look at those? And so I did, and still didn't have much interest, but he encouraged us to make an offer. And I talked to my sons, and they were the ones that said, yeah, let's do this, that this is the direction that the town's going in. It's an opportunity. So we purchased those buildings and proceeded to, over a year or so, to renovate them. And it's worked very well, and that led us into renovating the upstairs of the movie theater, which has with the ballroom and then all the wellness and fitness and yoga space that Megan and others have done up there. And I guess our view of the whole downtown square area of Fairfield is it's really the heart of the town. It's got, I think, the potential is just starting to be tapped. I mean, there's established wonderful things like you've done with Iconville and Café Paradiso and Revelations and the at-home store and some other great things that I'm sure I'm neglecting to mention. But you can see that as this continues to develop out with quality food and beverage establishments and boutiques and galleries. And it starts to become, I think, something that's not just unique for small towns in Iowa, but that really has a special quality and presence, whether it would be compared to a neighborhood in a great city like New York or San Francisco or other great small towns around the country. So it's, we feel fortunate to be able to be involved in that.
And you're a key component because, you don't think of everything involved with the transformation of a city, especially when you're starting pretty much at zero.
Yeah.
and many of us came with no nuts and bolts kind of experience. I mean, I'm an artist. I came with, with that knowledge, but that's about it. The nuts and bolts stuff, we have to all work together to pull this thing off.
Well, that's the key thing is that whatever, however we all ended up here in this out of the way place, that we come with our little parts of, and the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, and all these little things that we've all added, Alan's sound expertise and whatever it is, that it's really created something that's got a unique vibrancy to it and gets better all the time.
Well, it's amazing the degree of talents in all disciplines that have gathered here. So we have real deep people to draw from.
One of the things we've enjoyed about working with the buildings around the square is the quality of the construction on these buildings and some of the architectural features, even though most of them are in various degrees of disrepair. It's when you look at what's gone into those buildings or what went into them 100 years ago and some things that have happened along the way, it would be very difficult in new construction methodologies and costs to replace anything like that. They're in an area where typically a property trades for $25 to $100 a square foot. These things would probably cost $400 or $500 a square foot to duplicate, and to be able to go in and to restore these buildings and bring them back to life and then have different businesses like Cafe Paradiso or the toy store or whatever goes in there come in and then put their aspect into it. It's very fulfilling to see that happen.
Well, I always felt like, I'm an easel painter, essentially, but I also, even though everybody else is doing digital installations these days, but that's what I relate to. But I always, and digital installation is leaning towards this total environment kind of thing, no matter how sophomoric some of it can be. But what I really have felt all my life is that architecture is like almost the greatest art form because of the way it structures consciousness and envelops you completely. It's this theory that's being applied with digital installations. But it's always been there as architecture. And the architecture taps into these archetypes that make the soul feel comfortable and to participate on that. It must be very enjoyable for you to see things like Cafe Paradiso come about that does so much for people's souls in these different ways, and it's so beautiful looking on that corner, and it's really remarkable. And then
the earth and water
and water in that building, and the toy store, it's just like delightful. It's really delightful.
Has what kind of input do you get, if any, from the city? I mean, I understand there is some kind of a beautification program or policy or something underway, but I don't really know
what it is.
project the city did a few years ago of the nodes and the landscaping, that clearly enhanced the whole square area. I mean, I have to admit, it went the front end, I didn't quite understand the impact that it would have, these little inputs, but that's made a big difference. And I mean, the city is certainly, I know, express, you know, appreciation for whatever little bit that we've done. But my understanding...
Yes, I know that. Yeah. Appreciation.
We appreciate it. We have to raise your taxes a little bit because you improved everything.
Right. Thank you very much.
But at least there's positive support there.
Positive support, yeah. I think they're under... investigating a program to obtain some partial grants for improving the facades of different buildings. But I think that's fairly early on to know whether that's feasible or not. So I've looked into some of those programs that have gone on in other towns. And, you know, because of some of the grant or funding requirements, that the cost can be so high. So hopefully that's not the case with this. We'll find out as it unfolds.
Because you're working on buildings around the square, do you get some kind of a tax break for heritage buildings or anything like that?
No, we've looked into that a little bit, and our accountant has advised us that he's handled a couple of those, and what's required in terms of the different architectural services you need to bring in and other, that it becomes very expensive to do. I mean, I remember when we first started buying buildings around the square, pushing 20 years ago, I remember some of the local realtors saying, well, you know, you guys are crazy to be buying these old buildings for anything at all, and they weren't selling for very much. It was, I don't know, $10-$20 a square foot. To me, it was almost a giveaway, because coming from San Francisco over the last 10 years and in Santa Rosa, which was a classic old town, and I was involved in a lot of development there, but, you know, more as an employee or a contractor, because it was so expensive, and I'd see these old buildings that even 20, 30 years ago, that people were acquiring and spending hundreds of dollars a square foot to do. It was just beyond whatever our financial capabilities were. So just on that level, I thought this is such a wonderful opportunity to be able to work with these buildings. But they're... I mean, I think from the standpoint of the city and whatnot, I think they appreciate what's going on, but it hasn't been a program that they've particularly undertaken yet.
Well, these are tight financial times for political.
Yeah, and I'm afraid I've heard similar things about a lot of these grant programs that sound like someone wants to support a project, but in fact, they want so much compliance before they can support it that it turns into a project no one ever really wanted to do in the first place.
Right, well, compliance, and I think, like a lot of things that work under the auspices of government or nonprofit, that there's really a profit-driven motivation that kind of works into these systems that can make things very expensive to do, which is one of the great things of bouncing back to the Orpheum Theater Group, is everyone's come forward with no personal vested interest, just wanting this to happen on a community basis. And I think that's the way that a lot of things will get done going forward, without these other agendas that make things expensive and cumbersome.
If one of our listeners wanted to contact the source the source of the new theater project, who should they look for?
Well, in terms of our position on that, is that we represent the building ownership. Mm-hmm. And so either myself or my son Christopher, who works with us, they can contact us. 469-1919 is our business number.
Well, say the number again.
469-1919.
Okay.
And but we're working intimately on a minute-to-minute basis with the Orpheum group, and there's a board of directors that's being seated, of which we will, or at least I will not be part of that. I think Christopher will. But there's all these subcommittees that we work with on a day-to-day basis. At this point, I think either Sheila Ross, Patricia Dresden, I think they're probably the main ones that have been doing most of the organizing, and fairly soon there'll be some identifiable subcommittee groups that that if people want to have an interest in, as you do, Alan, in the technical end of the digital systems or seating, that you can plug into that. Later there'll be a film review or selection committee group that people can plug into that. So we want this to be very inclusionary, so that anyone who wants to help, we need a lot of help. So.
So let me just say, for those who missed last week's show with Chris, and this is Chris Johnson that we're interviewing on Icon Art Radio, now we've gotten back to discussing the new movie theater in town, and we're all looking forward to a brand new, unique, and comfortable new theater. When is the projected date for opening the theater, if everything sort of falls into place? Are we just waiting for the finances to get there first before we can project?
Yeah, I mean, we have started work, the part of the work that the building ownership will do, and that'll take, I don't know, a couple months or so. And then the fundraising will commence, I think, in the next day or so. The package is about ready. So as soon as the funding is in place, or at least a segment of it, that we can move forward with one theater, if not both, then we're probably about 3 months out from that time period. So I'm speculating that we're probably looking sometime this summer to be open. And I guess what in terms of the overall vision of what goes on in the town square. I think that with the festivals and content that'll be happening at the Orpheum when that's up and operating, that hopefully that can be the equivalent of another art walk. That it'll can be an event that will bring the community out when we do these monthly festivals. We'll bring people in from out of town, hopefully eventually we'll have enough interest in various sectors of the community that we can have something going on every weekend that's as big and lively as Art Walk was at its height, and hopefully Art Walk will regenerate and have the kind of numbers that it used to have. We can probably, you know, based on our experience of what's going on in the upper floor of the Orpheum Theater with the open space studio and, you know, Tyson Dimmitt's operation and other things along that line, that there's enough fitness, wellness, yoga, alternative health components going on in Fairfield that, again, I think is quite unique, not only for a small town, but even for major cities in the United States, that we could have a fitness and wellness weekend. So that there's...
Right.
Eventually, I think as we look at what we already have and what we can enhance, in Fairfield and around the square, we can have significant activity happening all the time on an ongoing basis.
Right. But it's like it's a focal point. I mean, the theater, and we all that's going on there now, but the theater will become the focal point, and more people will hang out there, more people know what's going on in that corner, and then you have these events. Because it's like Icon. Until we moved to the new gallery on the square, which is now 5 years old, been there for 5 years, but when we moved from the this sort of like a grassroots happening thing above the square down to a solid face on the square, that made a huge difference in support in many ways for us. And I think the theater's got all the potential for the same kind of thing.
You know, and that's one of the reasons, as I've observed, you know, in suburban towns around San Francisco or wherever, where in those cases, the communities are going back, and if their old movie theater hasn't been torn down or completely locked into some other use, they're spending millions of dollars to reacquire, renovate, put back into use these theaters, because they are so key to reviving and moving forward a downtown area. I mean, here we're talking about raising $350,000, so it's not that that's a small amount of money, but in comparison, it's not a lot relative to what some communities have done. And I think it's, you can almost correlate it to what a lot of big cities have done, where they've built kind of old-time baseball stadiums in their somewhere in their downtown areas, and use that to completely revitalize a big sector of their downtown area. The movie theater in a small town, I think, does the same thing, combined with Icon and Paradiso and Revelations and all the other things.
Well, it's nice to think that any evening, weekend or otherwise, if you were to go to the Fairfield Square, you'd probably find something interesting going on. And in fact, my experience is that I too often find something interesting going on, and I can never get to a quarter of what I'd like to.
Well, it does bring up the issue that we need to figure out how to, A, involve more of the community in the different events, whether it's a movie or a gallery showing or whatever music is playing at Paradiso or a play at the Sondheim, because we almost have too much creativity. I think we've got a lot of venues, we have a lot of events, we just don't have enough people to come.
If too many things are going on one night, a really great show can have like five people, and we don't want to see that happen.
No, I know.
Well, that comes back to the idea of critical mass, that, you know, what does it take to start really pulling people in from surrounding areas who are coming not even necessarily for something specific, but because they assume there'll be something that they'll want to do. And I think that is beginning to happen.
Yeah, I think we're this close, and with the theater and a few other things, and then organizing it and packaging it right. I mean, I like, as probably most of us do, we'll go to different events in Iowa City, the Jazz Festival or the Arts Festival, and those are great events, and they draw a lot of people. But what can happen here that doesn't happen there is the individual small town connectivity that doesn't quite work, even in, not that Iowa City is even a big town, but it doesn't quite happen there. Here, I mean, I think that's a real attraction, that you can come in and experience these different cultural events, but also you'll meet and talk to any number of people on the street and in the venues and galleries and restaurants, and which I think is very attractive to what
and we have
want.
Unique venues that aren't like every other arty place. There's some there's a uniqueness to Fairfield.
Mm-hmm. You see that with the different musicians that come in. Almost every one of them says that they uniquely enjoyed performing here. That, that it's very warm, very energetic. So
yeah, when I was working with Way Off Broadway, we routinely would have performers from New York who had come in and done their thing, and we're thinking, gosh, the house was only half full. We feel, you know, so many more people should have been there. But afterwards, you talk to the performers, and they just tell you, this is why we are actors, is for this audience, is people who are paying attention, people who are wide awake and are looking at everything that you're doing for them and getting it. And I remember one guy said that a half of a house at the Sondheim was far more fulfilling than a full house on Broadway. And then, you know, and he elaborated, because a full house on Broadway, they're mostly tourists. They just came for quick entertainment. They're not paying much attention. They all overate and probably drank too much. Yeah. And they're whispering to each other and so on. And it's not the same kind of audience. It's huge. And they're paying huge amounts of money, but it doesn't. They said, this is why I live in a tiny apartment on peanut butter. It's for this experience that I got in Fairfield.
And we hear the same things at ICON. I'm surprised that the professors and the artists from other parts of Iowa that come down here and show their work and have a walkthrough and talk with the people about their work are so impressed with the quality of intelligence of the audiences, or even if they're not that knowledgeable in art, their natural inquisitiveness and their intelligence that they bring to it is more rewarding to these people than they're in their academic communities even. So there's something unique and special happening here.
Well, we're all fortunate to to be involved in it in whatever little part that we can play here, and it's getting better all the time. So,
and we thank you for the part you're playing, and we've been interviewing Chris Johnson on ICON Art Radio. Thank you so much for coming.
Listening to ICON Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.